What I think is, to be spiritually influenced, you have to read the scripture. And to read the scripture, you have to have a hungry heart to learn. And, I mean, if your spirit is thirsty, you're going to want water, right? God has the water. He's only going to give it to you if you're thirsty. And some people, people who just don't read their Bibles, I mean, if you're not much of a reader, then you're not much of a Christian. And so when God gave the Israelites manna, he said, use it today, don't save some for later. And what happened if they save it for later? It got rotten. And so God gave us the Bible, and we need to prepare, so we need to do something good with it today. And David wrote in Psalms 119, you will not understand the word if you are not listening. So as long as you are listening, he will keep on talking to you.
I think just like, you know, keeping on this theme of like, you know, our fruits are what show, you know, what's in our heart and what our desires are. And, you know, the verse says, do not be drunk with wine. And like, what's wine made out of? It's made out of grapes. And, you know, that's a fruit. And I think that oftentimes our fruits, like the way that we act, we're not necessarily trying to fill ourselves with ungodly things and things that aren't unpleasing to the spirit. But I feel like oftentimes Christians will think that, you know, that they're doing the right thing and think that they're filling themselves with the right things. And, what I mean is like using the spirit in a manner that's not true and not right to justify something that is actually wrong or immoral. And, the same way that, you know, grapes can be used to be turned into wine. In this case, you know, wine being a picture of, you know, I guess sin. Sometimes we can find ourselves using things of the Lord and corrupting them, using them in a manner which is like unseemly, that is unpleasing to the spirit. So I think what we need to keep in mind is to make sure that just because it, you know, it's biblically related, or, you know, the name of the Lord Jesus might be thrown in there, it doesn't automatically make it godly. And we need to be vigilant. We need to keep our minds open, because there's plenty of people out there that'll tell you, yeah, I'm a Christian, or I believe in God, or, you know, whatever. But the point is, we need to, like, you know, Brother Chuck said the other day, we need to discern the real money from the counterfeit. And, we can't take the real money and use it, you know, to go buy drugs with it. We can't use it for something that's going to be immoral or wrong. We need to use the word of God for the way it was intended, in a way that's pleasing to the spirit, and not something to, that's going to dishonor his name. So,
clarify this, that really wine here is not sin, but it's the thought. It's a comparison, that wine is a controlling agent. That's why it says in excess, right? So if someone may have a glass of wine, they don't necessarily become intoxicated. But if you do it in excess, it is a controlling agent. And here it is contrasting that the believer should be under the control of this divine person who is in us, that we allow him to fill us completely full of his control, where he has complete control. And I want us to look at this in a positive way, right? Because certainly we've laid out these negative aspects when he is not in control. But think about when we give over the control that we like to have into his hands. Think of the fruit that we've just spoke about that is produced, that glorifies and honors God. That's what we want to get to as Christians, as young people, that when we give the Spirit of God control and he fills us to the top, that it glorifies God, that he, the Lord Jesus, who has given his life for us, that he is our master. Now we have the Spirit of God that indwells us. We give him that, the place to drive, the control, to lead our lives. And it's in every aspect that we then start to see that which is produced of him, right? The fruit of the Spirit is produced in us, who allows the Spirit of God to have control. So I want to just to clarify that this is a wonderful positive side of him controlling us. We want him to control our lives.
Thank you very much, Tony, because I think I was ready to say what you said. We by nature, because we live in a world where we see the abuse of these things, we naturally have a tendency to dwell on the first part of the verse. Dwell on the second part. The second part is where the Spirit of God has the control over me, over all that I do. And now let's link it with the fact that I hold in my hands. It's a wonderful thing to think of one who is fully controlled by the Spirit of God, holding in his hands the sword of the Spirit. Think of that. How important it becomes for you and I to know the Word of God. Every verse in the Bible used just whenever I might want to use it is not right. Okay? The Spirit of God leads in the verses that he would bring to our memory if we are in a situation where we know I want to serve the Lord. I want to speak a word on his behalf at this time for this which is going on. Number one, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. Number two, I want to be led by the one who is able to use this book as a sword. You know, that's a wonderful thing. The enemy is a defeated enemy. The power of the Word of God is in the Spirit of God using it, being allowed in my life to show me the right word at the right time for the right circumstance. That's what we aim for, isn't it?
So, Brother Chuck, what are you telling us here? That now we have the Spirit of God. We talked about that earlier. Now we have the Word of God. And it's really important to realize that this sword in here is not that long sword where you go and just kind of attack somebody. It's actually a short sword in the armors of God. But what is that sword is going to help me is to defend. Is to defend. Just keep that in mind. It's not attacking. It's not using the Word of God to attack anybody. It's really using the Word of God to defend. So when, and I keep linking things back again, because keep in mind, if you're saying in your mind, well, I thought we were talking about show me your way in regard to the matter of gathering. And here we're talking about, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, walking right, talking right. What does that have to do with that? It has everything to do with it. Because if you are not right in your very little practical things, you'll never be right in the matter of the principle that is stated to us in the Word of God. So the Word of God, that's why I think it was said over and over, I need to be familiar with that book. Young people, listen, there is no excuse not to know your Bible. I don't get it. Really, I don't. I don't get it when people tell me, I'm not a reader. And you said it. I don't get that at all. How many of you have gone through high school without reading? Raise your hand because I want to see. No, nobody. Kurt, you didn't. Nobody. Nobody have gone through, and I don't know how many in college. It's the same. Don't tell me you didn't read. So I don't want to hear that I can't read. You need to read the Word of God. You need to understand the Word of God. There is no other way. God had not given me another thing. He just said, here, I have the Spirit who wrote the Word. You have a tutor. You know, when you have a very hard subject and you were looking for the person that wrote the book so he could sit with you and explain to you what he has written, you have the Spirit of God that wrote the book, that indwelling in you, that could explain to you what he meant by what it is. And that will help you in the matter of gathering also, because you will be able to say, what am I going to stand on? Man's idea or the Word of God? What am I going to stand on for my behavior in my family, for my behavior at school? On man's idea, what they think is right, because they change their mind every day on what's right. What was right 100 years ago is not right today. What was right 3 months ago is not right today. Or it wasn't right and now it is right. You cannot depend on man's idea to define what's right or not. It's on the Word of God. And the same thing on the principle of gathering. What am I going to find? Man changes their idea every day. Oh, we should do it this way. Well, no, we should do it that way. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. It's that short sword. The sword of the Spirit that helped me. But you have to know how to handle the sword. Brother Chuck, when you went to the army, first thing they teach you, how to take your gun, take your weapon apart, right? Take it apart and put it back together. Know what every part function. And sometimes if you're really, really good, they blindfold you and they tell you to take your gun apart and put it back together. Well, you are, because you gotta get that sense, the feel of every part. You know exactly where is that part and how it functions. You need to know the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God. You need to read your Bible. You need to be familiar with it. There is no other way to defend when the enemy comes with an attack.